Hello, and welcome to Bears Wire, your one-stop shop for everything Chicago Bears on the USA Today Sports Network. I'm analyst Phil Atoshin, and I have my partner in crime, Lauren Cox. Lauren, you talked about the offense. Now, let's talk a little bit about what you saw on the defensive side of the ball. I know the Chicago Bears have struggled at this position. They've had so many draft choices invested in the safety position, all the way back when Lovie Smith, all the way through Mark Trestman and Mel Tucker. Now we're here with the Vic Fangio, and they found a steal last year in the fifth round in Adrian Amos. However, when you look at these safeties, they drafted three possibilities this draft in DeAndre Houston Carson, Deontay Hall, and you also have in the fourth round they took from Miami Deion Bush, and all into the equation at safety. However, one guy that is a holdover, formerly cut by the Arizona Cardinals, picked up by the Bears, is Harold Jones Corte. You look at the day two of training camp, who were the two guys starting us off? What did you see and who did you like?
Yeah, so it appears that your early starting safeties are Adrian Amos and Harold Jones Corte from last year. And I really liked a lot of what I saw from Harold Jones Corte. He was very aggressive, but not too aggressive that he was, you know, beating out of place. He came down and made a nice run stop filling the lane and wrapping up Jeremy Langford and kind of just holding him still and making sure he couldn't go anywhere. You could tell Langford was getting a little bit frustrated in one of those let go of me kind of moments, but Howard was just loudly laughing because he got in the place and he knew he got him. And there was another player too where he came up and he didn't deliver a hit, but he knocked. He sort of ran into Eddie Royal, I think it was, and made him drop the ball and caused the incompletion. And he was running around the field howling after that too, you know, getting high fives from all the teammates. So he was a guy that really stood out with the first team safeties. And I never saw anyone else rotate in with Adrian Amos. I mean, it was all Harold Jones Corte with the first team, and then that left the second team to be Chris Brzezinski and Deion Bush for the most part there. They did a little bit with DeMontre Hurst and Sherrick McManus with the second team, but by the end of the practice, they were pretty much the third team, and they wanted an extended look at Bush and Brzezinski with the twos. And then we saw DeAndre Houston Carson rotate in with Hurst and McManus with the threes on safety.
Well, it's definitely a crowded position. Again, second day, no pads. Pads go on tomorrow, as we talked about earlier. In the last episode, Lauren's going to be there with live contact on Monday. So we'll get to see how this team is transpiring. We'll get to see how this position looks as they go further on in camp. Again, it's very telling that Corte and Amos, two young safeties, they finished out the season starting together, and now they started training camp together. So that's really interesting to see, and this is going to be repeated a lot because, again, if you're listening, you know pads and lights, meaning game action, are going to define who's going to play. At the end of the day, Vic Fangio doesn't play people or players that are unwilling to tackle, and that's going to be the most important thing, and Amos and Corte are very good physical tacklers. So when you look at that position, we transfer over. The Bears re-signed Tracy Porter. They have Kyle Fuller. They have a group of young corners. And they also drafted DeAndre Hall in the fourth round. So they're clearly making an investment on improving in the secondary. What did you see at the corner position? Who stood out? I know there's a name that you dropped in your article on Bears Wire about four players that impressed you. Talk a little bit about the starters, then talk a little bit about who impressed you.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping to see some more play-to-play consistency from Kyle Fuller, and maybe I saw a little bit more of it, but there were still too many times when I caught myself going, oh, come on, dude, like, this is your third year in the league, and there's no pads, and it was one practice, so I'm not going to throw Kyle Fuller completely under the bus. But there were times in man-to-man coverage where he'd just get shook. I think it was either Kevin White or Eddie Royal. There was one play over the middle where they just cut back across his face, and he was completely blown off. And and the receiver was wide open for a first down. You know, obviously just practice first down, but still, it was the kind of thing that you don't want to see happen from Kyle Fuller. And when he was dropping back in zone, he was great. I mean, he was able to read the receiver's route, play out in front of him, and then break on it from that point. And he followed a lot of guys tightly to the sidelines and even a little bit across the middle. But anytime he was locked up in man coverage, it just wasn't nearly as he didn't look as comfortable because he wasn't as fluid and as attentive about what the receiver was doing. It kind of seemed like he was always mentally thinking and one step behind, like, okay, is he going to make a move? Is he going to make a move? Is he going to make a move? When instead, it just doesn't feel as natural for him as the zone does. But Tracy Porter, on the other hand, I thought he was solid. He was good in man coverage and zone. He was able to keep up with Kevin White pretty well for the most part. There were a couple times when White was just a little bit faster than him, but for the most part, he was solid. And Bryce Callahan with the number one nickelback, he was solid until he went down with a calf injury. And that sounds like it was just cramps, but he was down for a while. There must have been some pretty bad cramps because it was a good 5-10 minutes where he was laying on the field getting worked on. I was concerned that it might be something more, but he was able to hop back up and walk around, and I don't think he practiced anymore after that. But still, he's fine, and he was getting some work on the outside too with the number twos. So he's getting used all over, and especially on special teams too. So I expect him to have another big role in 2016.
Who came in when Callahan was injured? Who substituted in for him?
Yeah, Demontre Hurst took over as the nickelback when Callahan went down. I mean, he was the number two nickel and then number three safety. And I think he made a couple aggressive plays at safety. I didn't see him do a ton from the nickelback spot just because it was towards the end of practice when Bryce Callahan went down. So there wasn't a ton of opportunities for Hurst. But yeah, he stepped in with that first team, and I thought he looked fine up there. And like I mentioned, at safety, there was a play where I think it was David Fales was reading a receiver across the middle and kind of staring him down, and Hurst comes flying in from the safety and knocks the receiver out of the way and tries to get two hands on the ball for the interception, can't quite pull it in, but he was in the perfect position. He read the quarterback perfectly and came down, and you could tell it was one of those things where he clapped his hands really hard together, like damn, I was so close, couldn't quite get it. But you know, he's got the right idea, and he's got the instincts to step up and potentially make a play on that, and certainly he prevented the completion, and that's what's most important.
And Lauren, it's interesting that you talk about Hurst, you talk about the safeties and the secondary, and it's going to be important as we go forward when the lights go on and the tackling starts. But one guy that I felt like was very interesting that you pointed out in your article for Bears Wire was Devontae Bosby, corner from Pittsburgh State in Kansas, formerly of the Chiefs. He's a bigger corner, but you really liked what you saw from him today.
Yeah, he was working with the number two cornerbacks. It was him and DeAndre Hall for the most part. I mean, we saw Bryce Callahan work some there and a little bit of even Jacoby Glenn at times. But Bosby made some really nice plays. He had a number of pass breakups, you know, diving in front of receivers to tip balls away, using that length on that 6'2 frame. And he just seemed to have a very good feel for reading the quarterback and in reading the receiver and knowing that once the receiver makes his break on the out route, to get on his horse and get after it. And sort of it almost baited the receiver, almost baited the quarterback into making the throw in that, you know, they wouldn't see Bosby building up that speed as he's coming off the route to come in and make that pass deflection. So I thought for a guy that most people have not heard of, he made a lot of plays out there, and he's starting to make a name for himself to make sure people have to know who Devontae Bosby is, because he could be a real sleeper as a guy towards the bottom of this roster, if he can start showing up on special teams, that he could make some waves here, because he's already ahead of a guy like Sherrick McManus, for example, on this depth chart at corner.
Well, it's important that you find young talent. Unearthing guys like that is a big deal. And when you can find players with size that you can't coach, that could take away the deep ball and the back shoulder fades with length, this kid is showcasing and having an opportunity, albeit it's the second day of camp, but you jump off the tape, you get into a rhythm, and you start believing and building confidence, this could be somebody to keep a real close eye on.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that, you know, we've seen in the past undrafted free agents make waves on this team. I mean, last year it was Bryce Callahan. He came in as an undrafted free agent, and all of a sudden he's your number one nickelback for the future right now. And then 2 years ago, it was Demontre Hurst, where he sort of worked his way up into a bigger role as a slot defender in this team. So you could easily see a guy like Devontae Bosby, who, you know, he's not a rookie right now, but he has that former undrafted free agent background. And we've seen in the past, Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell can take these guys with physical tools and develop them into major cornerbacks. So I think this is certainly a great opportunity for Bosby to come on a team that's thin at cornerback and start to make a little bit of a name for himself, because he was a guy that was around with the Chiefs last year before he got hurt, and that was the big thing that kept him from playing last year. It wasn't he didn't get a full opportunity to present himself to the team and potentially make that roster. So this is really his first shot once again to sort of make a name for himself, and he's really starting off on the right foot here.
Well, one thing that's going to help this secondary, and it's been talked about by the quarterback who's going against them early on and throughout OTAs, is Jay Cutler has mentioned, as well as Kyle Long, the 180-degree improvement of the front seven. However, Lauren, going into camp, much like the offensive line that we talked about on the offensive audio, Lauren was focusing in more on the skill positions and the defensive backs and secondary. He did focus a little bit on the defensive line. However, he did not focus in on the linebackers as a whole without pads. So, Lauren, when you look at this new found defensive line, you basically had a rookie last year, second-round pick, and Eddie Goldman. He's back. You signed from New England Akeem Hicks, thwarting New England and Detroit for his services. You have a rotation going on. Talk a little bit about what you saw on the defensive line and how some fabric players might take a precedence this year in 2016.
Yeah, like you mentioned, I didn't watch closely to see the quality of play because I don't feel like I could really be a fair judge of these defensive linemen when they don't have pads on and the offensive linemen don't have pads on. So it's not really a normal situation for either of them. I mean, certainly you can still gain some things, but I thought my time was more valuable with skill players that the pads don't have as much of an effect on their game. But as far as the rotation goes, Mitch Unrein was the starting defensive end opposite Hicks with Goldman in the middle. And then when they go into nickel situations, Unrein would come out and it would mostly be Goldman and Hicks, although they rotated in other guys in that situation, a little bit of Jonathan Bullard and some Will Sutton too. Then with the second team, the rotations on this defensive line were very deep, and it was hard to get a major feel for who was in the lead there. But we saw a lot of a guy that we didn't get to see a lot of in the past, and that's Cornelius Washington working at the defensive end. And I'll tell you, you know, his physical tools are what gets talked about, and that's for good reason. I mean, you see this kid out there, and this man is just chiseled and built like a. I mean, I wouldn't even know. I don't know if I want to say it's built like a defensive lineman, because defensive linemen are typically, you know, more of the fatter guys. But I mean, his upper body is thick, and his shoulders are wide and broad. And I mean, if you're trying to come up with what a football player should look like, it's Cornelius Washington, and he looks the part. And it sounds like now that he's getting more reps with the second team, he's starting to get more of the mental side in with that physical tools that he already has. And you see it in a guy like Will Sutton. He's been rotating in at the nose tackle and defensive end spot. He's really been inside out. And Terry Williams started to get some more play in the second team alongside Jonathan Bullard. So it's really those four as the main backups. And then Marquise Jackson and Keith Browner were more the third team guys there. But certainly there's a lot to like from the seven guys at the top. And it's hard to get a feel outside of the three starters quite exactly how the rotation goes. It just seems like Will Sutton and then Ego Ferguson, I didn't mention either, those two are sort of maybe a step ahead of where Bullard and Washington are right now, but all five of those people were really getting a lot of equal play on the second team, and it was hard to get a feel for that.
Well, it was interesting because I was going to ask you about Ego Ferguson. Was it strange for you to see Unrein over Ferguson? Because it was kind of assumed that Ferguson was going to be that starter opposite Hicks at the five. Was that kind of questioning? Was that strange to you?
I guess I wasn't super surprised, because I get the impression that Ego is still a little bit behind in trying to, you know, get up with the mental side of the game and get his development farther to add some more moves to his arsenal, because he seems like a guy that's still raw. And I mean, that was what he was when they drafted him. And I think between the injuries and the suspension, I don't know if Ferguson has gotten enough time to really develop the way he needs to. And, you know, he keeps kind of being back there. I get the impression that Will Sutton is kind of the fourth defensive lineman in the rotation right now, and Ferguson's back there with Bullard and Washington, and Terry Williams is still trying to figure it out, and certainly not guaranteed a locker, not guaranteed a roster spot by any means.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. The Cornelius Washington commentary to me is very exciting because here's a guy I think that's a wild card because of what you talk about, that point of attack strength, setting the edge and setting the offensive, the line of scrimmage in the backfield. I feel like Cornelius is someone that could really do that, and having those enormous guys on the defensive line is only going to help that pass rush. And on Monday, Lauren, it's going to be interesting to see what you saw from the front seven, because it is a completely revamped athletic standpoint defensive front, from those middle linebackers down to the defensive linemen, because all I keep hearing about is what a freak athlete Akeem Hicks is. Did you see any of that today?
Yeah, there was one play when he made a nice move on the outside of Charles Leno and got around and got the simulated sack, and he comes running out of the pile of where everyone was standing in the pocket and does this loud roar and does a fist bump up, or like a fist pump up in the air, kind of like Tiger Woods used to when he'd hit a nice putt. And it was really beautiful to see. And it's the way he kind of just comes running out of the pile. He moves very gracefully for a man his size. Like you mentioned, he's got that mobility and that quick twitch ability to move quickly in small spaces. So you can kind of see, I didn't get a ton of time to see him, you know, running around and making plays defensively. But after he made that simulated sack, he ran out and he was jumping around and making a lot of noise.
Well, it's going to be exciting, and it's got to be exciting for Bears fans listening in, because Lauren has given you some really good insight to what's going on with the new look offensive coordinator and now the new and improved defense. Lauren, it seems like if the Bears can stay healthy, that they could be one of the underdogs to take on this division, because they were in every game last year. They beat Green Bay in Green Bay. They lost to Detroit and Minnesota on freakish nickelback play in the closing seconds and terrible officiating in the Lions away game. So they were in every football game, Lauren. This defense, the offense, it's got to be exciting, and just be there firsthand and see this staff molding this roster. It's going to be a very difficult cut down, because it looks like there's a lot of talent out there.